This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Wisconsin Republicans have called on state Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz to recuse herself from ruling on a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative boundaries. They argue that campaign donations she received from the Democratic Party and comments she made while running for the seat make her an unfair arbiter of the case. Last week, she said she would not recuse herself from the case, citing past court rulings and promises to remain neutral on the case. Today, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss told reporters that impeachment is not off the table if he feels she injects her own political bias into her ruling.
I want to see how she goes through the process. She said she's going to follow the law. The most important aspect of the law is following past precedent. And if we follow past precedent, the laws are constitutional. We've seen two different Supreme Courts find that they are. So let's hope she sticks to her word, which she said in her recusal ruling, that there's no need for her to recuse because she's going to follow the law. We'll see if she does.
Voss's latest comments come after he sought the advice of multiple former state Supreme Court justices who told him they do not support an impeachment pursuit at this point. Sets the stage for a political and legal battle over the state's redistricting that could work its way up to the U.S. Supreme Court once again. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think Justice Protasiewicz should recuse herself from this case? Why or why not? What do you think of the threat of impeaching her? How do you want to see the state Supreme Court and the state legislature handle this redistricting issue? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Robert Yablon is an associate professor of law and faculty co-director of the State Democracy Research Initiative at UW-Madison. Rob, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be with you.
Let's start with this recusal issue. As I mentioned, Republicans have said, well, she received donations from Democrats during the campaign. This, even though they're not plaintiffs, this case could benefit them. And she described the maps as rigged over the course of the campaign. When it comes to rules of recusal for state Supreme Court justices, do those rise to that bar?
Likely not. Recusal standards come from two main sources. They come from the U.S. Constitution's guarantee of due process, and they come from Wisconsin-specific judicial ethics rules. And as a matter of due process, the U.S. Supreme Court has indicated that hearing a case in which a campaign donor might be interested generally does not require recusal. And likewise, that justices, judicial candidates have a First Amendment right to express their views and opinions on issues, and that there's no due process right to have a judge that's never expressed such views. So, this is the kind of conduct that judicial candidates in Wisconsin and elsewhere often do engage in. They're often out on the campaign trail talking about their values and opinions. They only go too far if they make explicit promises or commitments. And I think Justice Protasiewicz was fairly careful to avoid doing that. And in this day and age, for better or worse, judicial candidates of all stripes receive hefty sums of money from political parties and other large backers. And for the most part, that does not require their recusal.
As a candidate, now Justice Protasiewicz did, I think, express herself on issues a little more than most people expect Supreme Court candidates to do so, especially with the comments about the maps being rigged. Again, she didn't say, therefore, I would rule against these maps or anything like that. I mean, is that hair splitting? Is it reasonable to say if she expressed herself that strongly on these maps, she's at least somewhat prejudged the case?
Well, she, I think, understood that there is a line that the law sets out between expressing views and opinions on the one hand, which is permissible, and making promises or commitments on the other hand. And the guidance that judges typically get is a promise or commitment is something that is quite explicit and overt. And I think that she generally was taking care after she expressed her views to say, I do just want to be clear that I will follow the law and that, you know, I take an oath when I put on that robe to, you know, look past my my opinions. So I don't know that what she was doing here, I'm pretty sure that what she was doing here was not different in kind from what you've seen from other candidates in Wisconsin or elsewhere. I mean, her opponent in the election made fairly clear that he believed that redistricting was principally a matter for the legislature. And that is the expression of a legal view on one of these issues. So, she stayed within the norm. Again, you know, whether you think that the rules ought to be tighter, that justices should be more circumspect, I mean, those are reasonable views to hold. But given the rules that we do have on the books, she seemed to understand them and took care to stay on the right side of them.
That's standards for recusal. How about standards for impeachment? So what technically are we supposed to be looking for before we being the state legislature in this case, start trying to impeach a state Supreme Court justice?
Well, under the Wisconsin Constitution, impeachment is reserved for instances of corrupt conduct in office or crimes and misdemeanors. And that's always been understood to set a quite high bar on the kind of conduct that would be impeachable. And that's consistent with what former Justice Prosser said in his the guidance that he gave to Speaker Voss. And Justice Prosser, also himself a former Republican legislative leader, he said, quote, impeachment is very severe and ought to be very rare. And he said that in his view, corrupt conduct is not the sort of term that's open to a mere political grievance, and that he didn't see any evidence of Justice Protasiewicz having engaged in corrupt conduct.
Dr. Rob Yablon from the State Democracy Research Initiative and professor of law at UW-Madison, looking at calls for Wisconsin's newest state Supreme Court justice to recuse herself from redistricting case that the court agreed to take up, and threats of impeachment of said justice. You can join in with your thoughts, your reactions, your questions at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. This is a good topic for Wisconsin to approach. And being a Wisconsinite who believes in virtue, I think we need to trust our leadership and trust that what they say is what they'll do. I think when it comes to the judicial branch, we have especially, to be sensitive to their judicial tact because they're interpreting the law. So I'm willing to trust the leadership as long as they demonstrate the ability to be objective.
Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. Rob, what do you think?
Well, I mean, that's consistent with the presumption that the law has long recognized, which is a presumption of impartiality on the part of judges. And it's a reason why recusal typically is rare. We see it most often in cases where you might have a judge who's related to one of the parties in the case, or a party's lawyer, or the judge and or someone in the judge's family has a direct financial stake in the case. But again, it's why recusal is not the norm when it comes to campaign statements or the receipt of campaign funds.
Thanks for the call, Jeff, at 800-642-1234. Bob is with us in Saukville. Bob, hi. Are you there, Bob? Okay. I think we've lost Bob. Thanks. So you can try again, Bob, at 800-642-1234. I want to dig into another statement from Speaker Robin Voss at the press conference today, saying that legal precedent should be observed. And he was making the case that if Justice Protasiewicz is interested in following the law, she should follow legal precedent and therefore past state Supreme Court rulings on these current maps. Stare decisis is the Latin for that, respect for previous rulings. That isn't always the case, as we saw with the overturning of Roe v. Wade at the national Supreme Court level. Rob, how important is it for the currently constituted state Supreme Court to follow precedent set by their predecessor?
Well, precedent is considered quite important. There is a presumption that the justices will follow past rulings, but as you note, it's not absolute. There are examples that happen with some regularity in the U.S. Supreme Court, for example, where precedent is overturned. There was a high-profile example in North Carolina not that long ago where a recent Supreme Court there invalidated a set of legislative maps as partisan gerrymanders, and shortly after a judicial election, the new court came in and overturned that precedent. So we do see precedents overturned from time to time, but the notion of stare decisis is that there ought to be a strong reason for doing it. Now, here I will note that the legal issues that the court is going to be taking up in this case are distinct from the legal issues that were addressed in the previous case. The previous case was a case about what had become unlawfully, unequally populated districts in Wisconsin. And technically, the two issues that the Wisconsin Supreme Court agreed to hear here, they're not even directly partisan gerrymandering issues. One of them concerns whether the current districts that we have are not contiguous within the meaning of the Wisconsin Constitution. And the other concerns whether the map that the Wisconsin Supreme Court adopted in the last case violates the separation of powers in the state.
I want to talk about that contiguous map issue. So this is going to be part, as you said, of the redistricting case when it comes before the state Supreme Court. Contiguous meaning all, you know, connected and touching. And yeah, I was paging through some of the assembly maps and a bunch of them have small chunks that are separated from the rest. Some districts, you actually have to leave the district to go to the other part of the district. Contiguous, I think, is one of those basic principles, I think, even in the state constitution. How did we end up with some of these disconnected districts?
So you're right. Contiguity is a requirement in the Wisconsin Constitution. And so how do we end up with districts that do throughout the state have little islands of territory that aren't connected with the remainder of the district? And the answer is that for the past several decades, contiguity has been interpreted to refer to political contiguity rather than geographic contiguity, which isn't necessarily the most natural reading of the term. But by political contiguity, what we mean is there are islands of territory sometimes that are part of a city or a village, but aren't connected geographically to the rest of it. And so the districts will keep those bits of city, those discontiguous bits of city, connected with each other in a district, even if there's not a geographical corridor between them.
We're talking to UW-Madison Law Professor Rob Yablon about threats to impeach State Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz after she declined to recuse herself from a case over Wisconsin's legislative district maps. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has said not moving forward on impeachment now, but not ruling it out in the future, depending on how the court case goes. You can join in with your thoughts, your reactions, your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Rob Yablon. He's an associate professor of law and faculty co-director of the State Democracy Research Initiative at UW-Madison. With us today to discuss State Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz deciding not to recuse herself from a case in the state's legislative district maps, and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss continuing to keep the option of impeachment open. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Should Republicans in the legislature move to impeach the justice now or after a ruling if it goes a way that they don't want it to? Should the justice recuse herself? What questions do you have? 800-642-1234 is the number. Let's go back to your calls now. Keith is with us in Greendale. Keith, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate the calm, level-headed discussion, but I find myself frustrated because I feel like we should be talking about the fact that this is just a naked power grab by the Assembly Republicans who want to subvert the will of the Wisconsin people.
Keith, thanks for the call. Rob, a naked power grab if impeachment were to move forward, our caller says.
Well, and I do think that that's part of the reason why former Justice Prosser counseled against it. You know, he said, for example, that if the legislature were to try to impeach a justice solely, for example, to try to delay a case, that that would be viewed as unreasonable partisan politics. It's one of the reasons why impeachment has been so rare, not just in Wisconsin, but around the country. There's only been one impeachment in Wisconsin history. And around the country, I'm aware of only about 14 state Supreme Court justices that have been impeached ever across the 50 states, you know, covering 200 plus years of history. So it's true that, you know, it would be quite extraordinary for an impeachment to proceed in these sorts of circumstances. And that may be one of the reasons why ultimately it seems like lawmakers have stepped back at least a little bit from that.
Thanks for the call, Keith. Christian joins us now in Milwaukee. Christian, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up?
I was just telling your producer, whoever that was, that we the people, we voted for Janet. And the reason why we voted for her is now the reason why they don't want her in office. I don't think so. That ain't going to fly. I got my plastic pitchfork and I'm ready to protest.
Thanks for the call, Christian. Yeah, there. That is one of the concerns people brought up is that impeaching over this this reason, Rob, would be overturning the will of the voters as represented in that election.
that is, you know, often given as one of the reasons why we don't want recusal rules to be too broad when it comes to things like campaign support or campaign statements. We do have a system of judicial elections, and alongside that comes judicial campaigns. And we do want to know something about the values and the priorities of the justices we're electing. And so even as we also want them to follow the law, we want to have some understanding that they kind of share our values potentially. And so, yes, I think that there is a widespread understanding that it would go too far in terms of recusal to force justices to step aside in big ticket cases, precisely, you know, because those were cases that voters might have cared about.
Thanks for the call, Christian. Martin joins us now in Ripon. Martin, hi.
Hello. I'm enjoying the discussion very much. I just have a further question on the Wisconsin Constitution requirement that the districts be contiguous. You know, when I look at the 47th district of the assembly, which is in the Fitchburg to Madison area, that is such a crazy quilt of disconnected islands all over the place. And it just boggles the mind to think that there's any justification other than blatant gerrymandering for the way that and many of these other districts are drawn.
Martin, thanks for the call. I was paging through district maps earlier, Rob, and I pulled up 47 here, and it is probably the poster child for questions about what contiguous means. Two big chunks, but a lot of little chunks spread out over quite a wide area. Is that one you focused on yourself at all?
So, you know, I think that what you're describing is a reality in many parts of the state. Now, it is a reality that is distinct to some extent from questions of gerrymandering, because there is a you know, relatively neutral reason why you might do that. And that is those pockets of territory are ones that are part of, say, the rest of the city of Madison, even if not physically connected to it. And so there might be reason to try to keep those pockets of territory in a district with the rest of Madison because they have that political subdivision connection. You know, this also goes into a whole separate question of whether it's reasonable that we have these laws in Wisconsin that allow kind of discontinuous annexation of territory. But that's a whole separate question.
Thanks a lot for that call, Martin. Ann joins us now in Campbellsport. Ann, hello.
Hello. Your question was, should Protasiewicz be impeached? And my opinion is no, she should not. That I was so relieved to finally hear an official say out loud that the districts are rigged, because indeed they are, and worse since 2010. And I think my question to Robin Voss is, why are you so opposed to fair districts? I guess that's my comment.
And thanks a lot for the call. Rob, the rigged comment, without necessarily saying rigged or not, when it comes to gerrymanders, I think Wisconsin, if you look at any Republican or Democratic gerrymander around the state, Wisconsin's is viewed as a pretty partisan map, right?
Absolutely. I mean, there are established measures that social scientists will use to try to quantify gerrymanders. And by those measures, Wisconsin's maps tend to be either the very worst or among the worst in the whole country. There's no question a partisan skew, even relative to the political geography of the state, which might itself have a little bit of a skew in it. But these maps dramatically amplify that.
Thanks for that call. Now, Speaker Voss has commented, Rob, that the U.S. Supreme Court might ultimately have the final word on Wisconsin's maps again, potentially. Is it possible that, okay, the state's liberal majority in the state Supreme Court says you have to redraw the map, or no, here's a better map, or whatever, and then once again, Wisconsin heads into the federal court system?
That is possible. Most of the issues in this case are state law issues. And on those state law issues, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has the final word. But there are a few federal issues that have already or are likely to sneak their way into the case as well. So one federal issue is the recusal issue, because what the legislature has argued is that the U.S. Constitution's due process clause requires Justice Protasiewicz's recusal. So that is something that the U.S. Supreme Court could take up. I'm not sure that they would have much appetite to take it up, but that is a federal law issue. The other federal law issue that could make its way into the case is similar to what happened in the last case. There are requirements under the Voting Rights Act to assure ensure fair representation for communities of color. And it's a fraught area of law, and it's not always easy to apply it correctly. And so it's possible that an argument could come up as to whether, if there is a new map drawn, that new map is being faithful to the requirements of the Voting Rights Act.
Now, an important point here is that under federal law, you know, you can't racially gerrymander, but partisan gerrymander, the courts don't really care about that. The arguments here is, should the Wisconsin state constitution be interpreted to say that a partisan gerrymander can be so far out of whack that, it is unconstitutional? Is that, am I getting that right? Is that part of the argument here?
Well, so even that argument is only indirectly presented in this case. That was one of the arguments that the plaintiffs in this case tried to raise squarely, and were hoping that the Wisconsin Supreme Court would take on. But when the Wisconsin Supreme Court said that it was going to grant review in the case, they actually limited themselves to the questions that we talked about before, the contiguity question and the separation of powers question. So to the extent that there's a discussion of partisan gerrymandering in this case, it's only likely to come if the court finds that the existing maps are unlawful on one of those other grounds, and then needs to draw new maps. And at that point, it may need to give some consideration to whether and to what extent partisan fairness should affect how you draw those new maps.
Politically, when it comes to impeachment now, Rob, Speaker Voss has kept that on the table, but looks to be late waiting for a result. It doesn't seem like there's necessarily a lot of appetite among Republicans and conservative former justices who released their letters publicly. Even if Speaker Voss wants to open an impeachment, does it seem guaranteed that he would get that from his caucus?
I mean, hard to know at this point. You know, given the size of the Republican majority in the Assembly, they may well have the votes to impeach, which only requires a bare majority. I think it would be a much trickier question whether they would have the votes to convict if there was an impeachment in the Senate. That would require a two-thirds majority. The Republicans have exactly two-thirds. And I think that it might be unlikely that every single one of those Republicans would be on board with convicting her.
Rob, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Happy to talk to you.
That's Rob Yablon, Associate Professor of Law and Faculty Co-Director of the State Democracy Research Initiative at UW-Madison, with us today for a look at the political and legal battles unfolding over threats of impeaching State Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz.